The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Thing up. Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today's May 1st, 2015, and we are sponsored by U.S. Wellness Meats. That's John Wood. That's www.grasslandbeef.com. Go out there, take a look at John's site, give him an order. It's the best stuff out there. And like I said, if you get to speak with John, you're going to love it. This guy is another one that's right on the money. So go out and check out U.S. Wellness Meats. Secondly, we got Saugerties Chiropractic Center. This is for only people who live in New York, upstate New York. This is my chiropractor, Mark Colligan. They're presently redoing the website, so you can get a hold of them by phone at 845-246-5020. Just to let you know, if you like pulsed electromagnetic frequencies, I had that on me for a half an hour last Monday. Did the deep tissue laser. Obviously, did soft tissue. I had 15 trigger points last Monday, and it's come a long way. And he did take rock tape me. I just took it off today. It feels pretty good. Putting a lot of DMSO on it. And, anything else, horse liniment, anything like that. And it seems to be really doing the trick. So that's 845-246-5020. Thirdly is our guest today, Dr. William Wong. Anyone that isn't familiar with him, he's been on a couple shows. He's a martial artist, and he's trained some serious people. This guy, in my opinion, is probably one of the most foremost authorities on anything. And if you're really interested in testosterone, men, you want to talk to this gentleman. He also is the formulator of DocsPrefer.com. That's his website. If you go out and you plug in Dr. Wong's Essentials, this guy has got everything, and I thank him immensely. He is sponsoring me for Iceland, and he's helped me out because I've had some bang-ups, and we're still treating some stuff. So I can't say enough about this gentleman. So go out to www.docsprefer, that's P-R-E-F-E-R.com. Take a look. And like I said before, if you leave a message or an email for this gentleman, he will get back to you, as will John, as will Dr. Colligan. They are that type of people. And we got two more. We got Roger LaPointe of Atomic Athletic, who's on here every Tuesday with me. They're only going to run the special on a safety squat bar for another 2 weeks. It's $299 on a regular day. Right now it's $225. I got one here Saturday. I've never used them in my life. If you got shoulder issues or you want to keep your shoulders nice and clean, I'd say go for it. I've used it twice. It's different, let me tell you, but I do believe it's going to be a good piece of equipment for me to train on until I'm where I want to be. So www.atomicathletic.com. Go out and take a look. If you don't find what you want, email or call Roger. Once again, he will call you back. And last but not least, we have a big special here with MuscleMass.com. That's John Drake's company. They've had their flagship product is called Adaptogen N. For anybody that goes out and types in the discount code Motivation, you'll get 21% off this product. And if you buy three, you get one free. And in the United States, shipping is free. So the sale goes to May 21st. Go out in the discount code area, type in Motivation, and as John says, you get improved health, vitality, and performance in and out of the gym. So as we talk about here, everybody wants a big dick. So that's just the way it is. Today, we got Dr. William Wong on here with us, and we're going to talk about something that's very close to my heart and a lot of lifters and just people in general. And we're going to talk about ligaments and tendons and fascia and bone and muscle. And I can't wait to hear what Dr. Wong's going to say. So, Dr. Wong, welcome to Motivation and Muscle, sir.
Thank you for having me back on board.
We love you on board. I know you're humble, and I respect that. But just give everybody a quick bio, if you would, please, on yourself. We'll get right into the show because I think it's important, and it's, I give all you guys thanks and gals for being on here and helping me. So if you would do that, I would appreciate it.
Sure, thank you. Let's see. I started studying natural health somewhere around 1968 when I was a kid. Just started lifting. And started taking supplements then. In 77 or 78, I graduated with an undergrad degree in physical education and sports medicine from Brooklyn College, which is the poor man's Harvard. graduated from naturopathic school in 81, and have spent about half my career working with athletes and the other half of my career working with old folks, putting them back together again. In 93 or 94, I was inducted into the World Sports Medicine Hall of Fame, and in either 93 or 94, I was inducted into the Martial Arts Hall of Fame. I have been a Wing Chun practitioner since 73, 74.
I'm getting old. I don't remember exactly right now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I've been at the martial arts now for almost 50 bloody years. Dang, I started in 67 with Gushindo Kempo. Under Russell Kazuki, then started studying Wing Chun with Grandmaster Moyat. I was Moyat's 25th disciple.
Wow.
And holy cow, there's been a lot of water under the bridge since then. And that's about it in a nutshell. Started making my own supplements back in 07. My wife decided that I had too much stuff in my head that was compacting there, and she needed to get it out and promulgate it and tell the world about the stuff that I had come up with. So she developed a company to actually develop the products that I thought would work for all sorts of different stuff.
That's awesome.
Basically it.
Yeah, well, that's a very colorful career. Most people probably won't do that in five lifetimes. So it's good. And you know something? It's nice that you can help people because, man, oh, man, you know, you and I have talked on the last few shows. I can't believe the lost souls out there, Dr. Wong. I'm serious, too. I mean, now more so. You see what's going on all over the country. It's like no respect. You know, let's get over on anybody we can. We'll destroy whatever we want. We treat people like shit. And you know what? You know something? I know what's going on, and I don't want to even be part of that whole, you know, that what do you want to call it? You know, it's like what you think about most, you connect to, and you get it. And it's like, I don't want any part of that. What I want to do here is like what we talk about. Manliness, we talk about things that are pertinent to getting better, not only mindfully, but structurally. And that's what I want. I want to build a camp of people like that. I don't want those malcontents and all these people that just find problems with anything in the world. It's like, if you're going to waste your time on all that shit, you're getting nowhere. So that's my little piece today. And I enjoy the physical strength so much and the tests and all that. And we know with this stuff we get banged up, and we get banged up a lot. How do you want to get into, how do you want to jump right into this, Dr.
You know,
Wong?
Anyone who uses their body is going to get an injury, whether you're playing sport, whether you're exercising. Heck, you're more likely to get injured conditioning for your sport than actually playing your sport. Mm-hmm. With the Russians, they discovered that they had so much in the way of injury and so much in the way of inflammation just from training for their sport. Now, mind you, they trained 7-8 days a week straight. They hardly ever took a rest. That it forced them to change their training philosophy to reduce the inflammation and reduce the number of injuries. But if you work out, or if you play a sport, or if you're physically active, you're going to get dinged up. You're going to get an injury. If you're a couch potato, you're heading for a back injury. Doesn't matter what you do. One day when you get up from the couch and put away the Nintendo controller, you're going to hurt yourself. And you wouldn't have had any fun doing it. I've got an unhealed fracture at T10, 3 herniated discs, 5 cervical fractures, and I can't even tell you how many more owies I've got. Mm-hmm. From jumping out of airplanes, being thrown by people, having stuff thrown at me, dodging wrenches and doing all sorts of other stuff.
Yeah, all the good stuff.
Sports and martial arts. And it was all fun. I had fun. You know, heck, I got carried off the drop zone by the first guy who jumped off the World Trade Center. Owen Quinn was one of the guys who carried me off the drop zone up in Hudson Valley Airport in upstate New York, back when I used to skydive there. And, you know, I completely ruined my right knee, but damn, I had a good jump.
Isn't that the beauty of living?
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is, we as it's a lot of fun, and then we pay the consequences for it. And in today's world, obviously, you can tell me more on this, but obviously there's more things out there. They can do a lot more as far as fix it and this and that. But let me ask you this. When we had this damage, right, like when I tore my bicep and things like that, is it better now? I mean, do you feel that, I mean, there's a lot of things we could do if you don't have a major tear or major injury, but, you know, you got some bad dings, you know, you sprained something. Is it much better, the information and the product that's out there, than, say, 25 years ago?
Oh, gosh, yeah. You know, used to be a doctor would tell you, take 2 aspirin, take 2 Tylenol, and don't worry about it. Oh, and by the way, you're going to get arthritis when you get older. Well, we'll still get arthritis.
Yeah.
All the injuries are going to become arthritic, regardless of what we do with it. But getting arthritis or being active is better than getting arthritis or being inactive.
Absolutely.
Because we have some fun in life, where the couch potatoes don't.
No, I know. That's for sure.
So,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
With the supplements, with the exercise, with what we know now about rehabilitation and rebuilding, we can become almost 100% of what we used to be, whereas before, the exercise and rehabilitation techniques had not gotten into physical medicine yet, and they weren't quite as good at putting things together.
Oh yeah, definitely. What do you like? Especially you've been around a long time around sports and injuries. What do you find? Is it usually the lower back that's the predominant one, or is there something else?
That kind of depends on the sport. For example, the most injured players in team sports are basketball players.
Oh, really?
All of a sudden, changes in direction. Ankles and knees go, and then wrists from dribbling the ball, and then lower backs. With football players, it's depends on the position. Lower backs are really bad. But we see a lot of acromioclavicular injuries, the AC joint, that little point at the top of the shoulder. In linemen, we see a lot of calcium formation in the delts in muscles. We see a lot of calcium formation in the quadriceps. With individual athletes, like wrestlers, tons of shoulder injuries. There isn't a wrestler anywhere that's going to have a good set of shoulders once he hits 40. Because they're just wrecked. The same thing with the mixed martial artists. You know, there ain't no old mixed martial artists out there.
No, not at all.
People look at the Thai boxers. A Thai boxer's career, for example, will last for 2 years before they're so wrecked they can barely move. And then they hope that they have made a name for themselves. They open up a school and they make their living that way.
Gotcha. I never even thought of that.
Yeah. So the amount and the type of injuries depends on what you're doing.
Do you see, I mean, when you used to do a lot of Olympic stuff and with the weights and all that, I know elbows, I've watched things where these guys, their elbows have like exploded when they went to do a snatch, and all of a sudden, man, bang, you see the thing like go right back on him and puts the worst bend in that elbow, and you know damn well they just blew an elbow. Is it elbows, lower back, obviously probably shoulders from that, but what do you see? Like, I mean, you know what I always wondered, Doc, which was really interesting. I mean, Alexia hung around for a while, you know, and I mean, look at the records he had. I mean, he had to be hurt. I don't care what he was taking either. I mean, he had to be hurting all over, wouldn't you think?
The Russians have a really good... Hold on just one second.
Okay.
The Russians had a really good system of... on the off season, using a whole heck of a lot of drugs and a heck of a lot of anabolic steroids to keep their athletes up to par. They used anti-inflammatories, and they were actually hurting athletes, causing kidney damage and renal damage with the anti-inflammatory somewhere around 73 or so. They started using half anti-inflammatories and half systemic enzymes because they discovered the enzymes. But the issue is, Alexeyev was an extraordinary human being.
Yep.
And he had extraordinary technique. Tommy Kono said that Ken Patera could never beat Alexeyev because he didn't have the timing and he didn't have the skill level in the second pull.
Mm-hmm.
So Alexeyev was just an amazing human being who was absolutely perfect for his sport.
Yep.
Now, yes, the Russians had to make the Olympic Committee get rid of the clean and press because Patera would have wiped his ass.
Yeah, for sure.
On the clean and press. So just having two lifts, Alexeyev was an easy gold medalist. But still, I remember way back when seeing pictures in Strength and Health magazine of Ken Patera getting cortisone injections in his joints, his elbow.
Yeah.
Because his again, his, like you said, with the snatch and with the second pull on the clean and jerk, he just didn't have the technique down, so he tried to muscle it. And when he tried to muscle it, he would tear something.
Well, you know, it was interesting because I like going back and looking at those old Wide World of Sports videos. And I'll tell you one thing. It was very interesting to watch, like, Alexia, Ken Patera, and Redding from Belgium. I'll tell you what, I don't know, maybe you've seen him in person, whatever. I thought Serge Redding was a pretty damaging, force, and it was like Alexia would always beat him by 2.5 pounds or something, but it was like those three men were very interesting individuals in all different facets of strength, obviously, and Alexia obviously had the technique and the power, the way he was set up to do the two lifts. But let's just say Patera could have somehow got around that or, you know, got his lifting where he could compete. And Redding, you know, didn't lose by 2.5 pounds every time. Do you think history would have been different?
It might have. It might have been. It would have been real close. I mean, I think you could have tossed a coin and any one of the three would have won.
Yeah. Well, I read an interesting thing, Doc. It was I want to say it was 700 or 800. I want to say it was 700 or 800 pounds. Ken Patera walked into a gym. And they had a York bar there. And, you know, we know a York bar back then especially was no sissy bar, an Olympic bar. They said he shrugged that bar so hard he bent it.
Damn.
Bent it. I mean, can you imagine the power and force a human being to be able to exert that kind of... And I don't remember if somebody bought it or they mounted it. And I think I saw something not that long ago, and I think somebody's got the bar now. I mean... What an incredible amount of power that guy had.
Those York bars were really springy.
Yeah.
they were probably the second best bar after the, Elenco's?
Yeah.
And I can't believe he bent the thing.
Yeah, he bent it. And I'll tell you one thing. I've only used an Elenco twice. A buddy of mine's got one who was an Olympic lifter, who still is. Interesting bar, and when I was out in Seattle visiting my brother probably 10 years ago, we walked into this gym there. He goes, you gotta go back here and check it out. They got a platform, and they have a Leco. I said, are you kidding me? He's like, no, they'll let you go in there, you know, but if they see you screwing around, they'll kick your ass right out. That bar was like butter, man. I was like, and I had the plates and everything on, and I was like, I'm by no means an Olympic lifter, but I can clean shit and stuff, you know, and I was like, no matter what weight it was, to a point, it just felt like it was like going through air. You know what I mean? It was like so smooth.
Exactly.
It didn't feel like you were lifting shit, you know? And I was like, wow. But getting back to the thing, obviously we all get hacked up, and, you know, when we don't have to go to surgery, let's start in like the ligaments and tendons and all that, when we overstretch them or we sprain things. What is the best way to let's start out getting back in shape and be able to get back in the gym? Are you a big believer of just trying to train around things?
No, I'm a big believer in rest. I've seen people come back too quickly and re-injure and make the injury worse. first and foremost, and I can't believe that there's still controversy about this. If you go look up my sports medicine book in Amazon, you'll see some comments on how I talk a lot about ice therapy. And there's this guy saying, well, in Chinese medicine, they do this and they do that. Ice is for dead people. You know, anyone still stupid enough to put heat on a primary phase injury deserves exactly what he's going to get. And what you're going to get is an extra swollen joint and a hell of a lot more pain and probably worsening the injury to the point where you're attracting a lot of calcium into the area and you will get myositis of Behcet's, which is calcium buildup in soft tissue. First thing you need to do is to ice the sucker. Any brand new injury for the first 72 hours, stick it in ice for 10, 15 minutes, 2 to 3 times a day.
Yep.
Regardless of whether you have to use a bucket or a bathtub or whatever you have to do with it, freeze up a Dixie cup and massage it into your back.
Right.
Whatever needs to be done, you absolutely need to ice it. Yep. Now, we need to then rest it. And then we need to start slowly building back the range of motion in it. You will have lack of function and lack of range of motion for anywhere between 20 minutes to 2 or 3 days, depending on the degree of injury. The worse the degree of injury, the less range of motion you're going to have. When you get to a third degree injury, which is usually a full tear or a full avulsion, then things have to be surgically repaired. Some things can and some things can't. For example, you tore your bicep at a tendon, tendons can be fixed. I tore my right bicep lifting a German Shepherd onto an examining table, and it tore across the belly, and it couldn't be fixed because it would be like sewing up jello. When you muscle bellies really don't heal back together again, they form a plate of scar tissue, and any new pull on that will just tear the scar tissue. So I didn't even bother having the surgery done. I just look like Bugs Bunny when he's trying to make a muscle and the thing's back.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. So when you tore that, it went up the arm and just it kind of knitted itself.
Yeah, it tore straight across the belly, and I've got this kind of a sagging lump down by my inside elbow.
Yeah.
On the front, which is the medial head of the bicep, just kind of laying there.
Yep. So I mean, if you want to do obviously, you've got the shoulder, and you've got the insertion right into the shoulder where that attaches there. I mean, can you do much as far as if you want to, just say you want to do light barbell, can you do stuff like that?
Can't do as much as I do with the left side, but yes, I can, because I still have a little bit of a bicep left, still have one part of one head left, even though I keep on tearing fibers in that one too.
Well, that's the thing. You know, and I've talked to, I mean, yours is different. You know, I've talked to other doctors, and I know I've talked to you about it. You know, they say to you, well, if you tear it and you don't have it fixed, you can't do it. Well, I found out different. They were like, that you go to a cadaver, and they'll get a tendon, and they'll go right in through the elbow and out, whatever they got to do there. So you can have it fixed. Go ahead.
Training will actually make the tendon thicker.
Right.
Training will make ligaments thicker. Now, you injure a ligament, it doesn't heal. It stays stretched out, or it stays torn until it's either surgically fixed or it is reinforced by something called prolotherapy, which was an old therapy that was brought back about 20 years ago. Prolotherapy works well at shoring up ligaments. But ligaments basically don't have ribosomes, so they don't do cellular reproduction, so they don't heal. But if you've got an injury of a tendon and you strengthen the tendon, that tendon will get thicker and stronger just as an adaptation to exercise.
Mm-hmm. So then you're a big believer probably in partials and isometric holds?
Yep. You know, isometric to a point. If you do like Bill March used to do with the York folks, and you do isometrics at each phase of the range of motion, like a lower part of a bicep curl, middle part of a bicep curl, upper part of a bicep curl, middle of a shoulder press, lower part of the shoulder press, upper part of the shoulder press. If you do isometrics against resistance, so first you're lifting a weight and then you're doing the isometric hold, that works fine.
Yep. No, I mean, here's something off cue a little bit. When you say Bill March, in this month they're having a 91st birthday for Norbert Szymanski.
Whoa, cool.
And Bill's going to be there, and there's going to be a bunch of people, and he wants everybody there. Roger LaPointe, that does the show, he's going to be going there, and we're going to do a show live with Norbert there. So that would be pretty interesting.
Thank all those guys there for their inspiration.
Absolutely. And Bill St. John's going to be there. So I know we got off topic, but when you said Bill March, I was like, whoa. I've always been a big believer, obviously, you know, that I use a power rack pretty much all the time,
yeah.
Mainly because I don't have spotters. I've always been a big guy with isometric holds. I like to hold them. I like to push on them. I like to pull against them, anything like that. I think if you know what you're doing when you're doing stuff like that, we're never going to say never, but I think it's the closest you're ever going to build a bulletproof body with lifting.
Yes, exactly. I had an orthopod tell me. Well, something that I did not know. It says all muscle tears happen during an eccentric contraction.
Correct.
They don't happen during a concentric contraction. So doing isometrics is a close. Doing isometrics and negatives are the closest way we can come to doing eccentric contractions. So if we can strengthen ourselves in the eccentric contractions, we won't get hurt.
Well, I'll tell you something too fun, and maybe you've experienced this, two things. I learned, and I've done a lot of reading, obviously, when you're lifting stones, especially round stones. And a lot of the bicep tears happen because these guys don't have a straight arm when they go to pick it up. Their arm is almost like in a half-curling position.
Yeah.
So right there, you can count your bicep getting ripped right off the bone.
Right.
And a lot of people, Doc, don't know this. I'm telling you, because I've said this to people, and they look at me like, what? You know, like that. And I said, look. You bend your arm and you go to pull even a 200-pound sphere, you got the potential of tearing that bicep real easy. And you see this more and more. And then secondly, I'll tell you something, and I'm trying this right now with the shoulder, and this will be interesting because I'm sure you've done it, but maybe I want to hear your opinion on it, is I've been taking stuff lately. Now, in my power rack, we designed it goes, obviously, the width of it. It fits on each long rod on there, and then we tie them down because we're building a cylinder type where the rod will stick through. Now, this thing, you can put any size dumbbell you want on it. It's all open in the center, fully welded on each side. And what I've been doing that with that thing at different positions, now I realize I got to be very careful at the bottom especially. I've been taking that thing and just taking either a 2-inch handle or a standard 1-inch handle, and just put my hand between there, grabbing obviously the middle of the dumbbell, and maybe pushing it 3 inches and putting it right back down. Mm-hmm. Not loading the shoulder capsule heavy, all right?
Yeah.
But I found going like low, medium, and high with it, it seems to have brought a lot more health to the shoulder. Now, I'm not doing it any more than once every 10 days. It was the same like the other day. I pulled the Husa Steel stone for the first time in 8 weeks, and I probably shouldn't have went that heavy, but I pulled 275 off the ground. I was a little nervous, obviously, because of that left bicep.
Yep.
I didn't have any pain, but, I mean, it gets sore. But I'm also a believer with injuries. I like you or anybody else, we don't go out and try to hurt ourselves, okay? But I also believe, and now we're going to get into the mental facets of this, I think you can only go so long playing it safe. And by that, I mean not doing anything ridiculous, but you got to go out and be the boss of your mind and everything and say, you know what, no matter what happens, I'm going to give a shot at pulling that stone because I need to start doing it because I need to get to Iceland and get the hell out of here. You know, and I think it's had an awful lot of therapy. It's had all the supplements you've fortified me with, and I feel I'm in good hands mentally, and I just feel that was what I needed to do. What do you think about that? Is that something you would do? Would you tell any of your clients that? All right, I'm your client. What would you tell me? Did I fuck up or what?
In my experience
yep.
with athletes at every level, from peewee to pro to Olympian,
yep.
all the guys who got nervous and started playing it safe got
yep.
hurt playing it safe.
Yeah.
You know, because you're changing your skill set. You're changing, you're reserving your strength for God knows what, and you're not performing optimally.
Mm-hmm.
Just changing your biomechanics to play it safe puts
yeah.
you in a position where you're going to get injured.
Mm-hmm. And I think the body, too, you know something that, you know, you remember the old Weider stuff, the mind memory or the memory muscle, yeah, whatever that BS was? There is some relevance to that, though, because I went back the other day and did things I've been doing for years. And even though it might have hurt a little bit here and there, my body felt like it was comfortable with it. I was getting all these signals to my head like, ooh, this feels good again.
Yeah,
or,
exactly.
You know, we can walk up and lift this. Now, I'll tell everybody, I'll disclose this, I was using tacky to lift it. And I'll tell you why, and I know everybody's like, oh, use tacky. Well, I got news for you. I've trained with tacky for years because here's my feeling. Why the fuck do you want to get hurt out in that backyard? I mean, and I know they'll say it all goes to your grip and everything. I got a killer grip, and I got big-ass forearms. I like training with it because, especially now, obviously I've got some stuff going on with that, you know, either the top of the bicep or the shoulder, and obviously the tricep, it's all connected there with the trap and rhomboid. I don't care. I want to train, man. I want to lift, and I can let go of that if I got it, and I'm only using dabs of it. I'm not putting, like, you know, a friggin' stick of butter on it, you know what I mean? So I think all these little things help, and I got to tell you, I mean, when I talked to you offline today before we came on, I'm not 100%, but I'll tell you what, I feel pretty damn good. It's been 2 days. I figured I'd get a lot of soreness today. Knock on wood right now, I'm feeling good, and I'm going tomorrow night. You know, that's the way it is. I'm going to squat again. I might even pull that stone again. I haven't really decided. But I feel good, and that's, you know, once you get like that, that starts propelling you, I believe, to start getting back to where you got to go. With caution, obviously, but you're no longer second-guessing yourself, and as you just stated, you do that, you're out of the game then.
Exactly.
Yeah. Here's all right, so we've already answered the ice. What else are we going to do? Obviously, you know, and I'm fine with you talking about your supplements. They're the best stuff around. Let's talk about supplements. Let's talk about chiropractic. Anything you feel that is not only going to mobilize us again, but, you know, get us slowly back to where we got to be so we can pick up and obviously exceed our expectations.
There are folks out there who have never trained athletes, who have never been in high-level competition, who are theorizers, and they say that inflammation is a good thing because inflammation is your body's signal to tell you something wrong and to take it easy and to blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry, shitheads. Inflammation kills people. You know, and the more inflammation you have, the worse off you're going to be.
Oh, yeah.
And unless you tame the inflammation in an injured joint or an injured muscle or an injured anything, you're never going to recover. So the ice helps to dampen and quench the inflammation. The systemic enzymes eat the pro-inflammatory cytokines your body makes to maintain the inflammation. It will lower inflammation without the damage of the corticosteroid drugs and without the damage to the liver, kidneys, and the intestines of the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. There are no bad side effects to systemic enzymes, mine or any other working brand. So we use the enzymes to quench the inflammation, and this is what the Russians did.
Yep.
Backed off on the cortisone. In 73, cortisone was banned in Olympic competition. So they backed off on the cortisone, and they used a lot of systemic enzymes and some non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. And they used that combination, and their athletes did better. Not only did they do better, but they found that the enzymes helped to regenerate tissue faster. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't quite as fast. They used to use anabolic steroids to regenerate tissue. No, the old joke, if you remember Cordelia Ender, who was an East German swimmer at the 72 or 76 Olympics, she looked like Steve Reeves. Man, she could have won the Mr. America anytime in the 40s and 50s. She was just that big.
Yeah.
And they never put her on a microphone because she sounded like this.
Yep.
And they had her on so many roids because the roids just build muscle, and the roids speed healing. The clinical experience in Vietnam was that every soldier, Marine, sailor, airman who got shot, injured, had an orthopedic injury, was put on Dianabol or Winstrol for a few weeks to help them heal, and some of these guys were coming back in just a very, very, very short time. I forget, I think it was Bill St. John, who was a doctor in the Air Force, talked about someone who had a femoral fracture, a just clean, straight across fracture of the thigh bone, 2 weeks before a powerlifting meet, and they got him on the roids, and just not a bodybuilding dose, but a physiological dose, a medical dose of like four pills a day.
Yep.
And in 2 weeks, you couldn't see the fracture. It had developed a really nice callus on X-ray, and the guy placed second in his powerlifting meet.
It's amazing.
So, you know, each of these things has their place. So we put in the enzymes. We put in the things to help our bodies make testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can use things like microcurrent electrotherapy, mm-hmm. like... Gosh, what is that? Rife therapy, or acupuncture, massage. We can certainly do active stretching. The chiropractic works well because, I'm sorry, every athlete, everyone who's active, throws off his spine and the ribs and needs to have them put back to have optimal nerve supply into the extremities so that we can do what we need to do. If you don't, think about a light bulb. We can start snipping at the wire going to the light bulb from the electric source, and the light bulb may still light, but it won't be anywhere near as bright. The weight of a dime on a spinal nerve trunk will reduce its conductivity by up to 50%. So if that nerve trunk happens to be innervating your bicep for a curl, and you reduced the electrical conductivity by 50%, how much weaker are you going to be?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Going to be very weak.
So having your spine adjusted will not only help you to have less dents and dings in the long run from everything you're doing, but it will also improve performance in the now by allowing for full nerve supply, full nerve flow to and from the extremity.
You know, Doc, you know, it was real interesting when you said that, especially with the spine. I went to this old chiropractor. He's a great friend of mine. He just passed away last year. He was in his 80s, 81. And he was a Palmer guy way back in the day. I mean, not like what he used to hate what they taught now. And I remember he always used to say to me, how was it? It was something like, you know, he always believed in, obviously, the life force of the neck. He only worked on the atlas and the axis.
Yes.
And they had a special table when they felt that there was more of a problem in it. It was the strangest thing. You know, you lay your head into this, I don't know what the hell, it almost looked like a collar.
Right.
And then they'd like snap it and the board would go down, right?
It's a drop piece table, yes.
Is that what it is? It's a drop table. Okay. And I'll tell you what, he used to say, you know, break the neck. How was it? It was like no life, you know, break the neck, no life force, you know, like that. And I never forgot that stuff because it was like he was not a big proponent of taking these people and, like, twisting their heads off, because I've gone to people in the past that, you know, because you lift weights, they feel they can be a lot harder on your body, which is a complete opposite.
Yeah.
And the guy that I'm going to now, Mark, he's a total opposite, too. It's like he said, guys like you that take good care of their bodies, he said, I usually have no trouble moving anything because your muscles are very supple,
right,
and they move. And that's a big thing. It's like, because I'll tell you what, I won't let anybody take and manhandle me like that, because that scares me too, because it's like, you know, someone twists your neck. I mean, how do you know? I mean, what if you broke my neck? My neck could be broken. I mean, you know. So I think chiropractic, like you said, I think it's incredibly good. And I've had very good results. I'll tell you one thing I like is the laser. That feels dynamite, let me tell you. And he's doing, I don't know if you've done it, you probably have, he's doing a lot of rock taping now, too.
Mm-hmm. That's a recent development that I am not as familiar with. That's something that's come about in the years that I have stepped away from a sports med. But it seems to be a really nifty, wonderful technique.
Absolute. I'll tell you what, I just took it off today. I was there Monday. Usually I can leave it on till Sunday, but, you know, with what I was doing the other day, especially with the shoulders and stuff like that, you know, you get a spot where it's not sticky anymore and starts coming up. I'm like, I'm not keeping this stuff on, but It really, really works well, and it seems to stabilize those areas. But the nice thing now is, you know, I'm using, like I said in the beginning, using a lot of DMSO, not the liquid, it's the gel. And I went down, it's a place that deals strictly with horses, and I went down and got, the guy suggested that's like the best liniment. And you know what the funny thing is? When you go to buy DMSO, they check your driver's license now.
Wow.
You got to be 18 years old to buy DMSO now.
You know,
is that insane?
I have always been an advocate of using horse products, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
All of the supplements for human consumption and human use, according to FDA regulation, only need to be food grade.
Right.
Food grade's okay. It's about what you get from eating in a restaurant.
Yep.
That's food grade stuff. All of the horse supplements are pharmaceutical grade. They are infinite number of levels higher and purer than any of the human stuff, because if you hurt somebody's Arabian, they're going to sue your ass off.
Either that, or they're going to come find you and kill you, probably.
Well, in Texas, yes, they would.
They'll come back and cut your balls off and say, see ya, man. Well, another thing, too, obviously, we hit upon this. And I don't know how many people really hit upon diet, you know, and I think that's essential for healing. Obviously, where are we with that? Do we want to stay mostly on a meat and good organic vegetables? What do we want to do with that, Doc?
Most orthopedic surgeons will tell you that diet has nothing to do with tissue repair.
Yeah.
Are you stupid or what?
Yeah, no shit.
You know, first and foremost, we need to put in zinc, because zinc is the building block of epithelial tissue, eyes, skin, all of your internal organs, especially the sexual organs, are epithelial tissue. They all have zinc as their primary building block. And the RDA of 15 to 30 milligrams of zinc is absolutely, it's not only laughable, it's criminal. A 1 ounce lab mouse can't stay injury free or can't stay deficiency free on 15 milligrams of zinc. Hell, you lose 15 milligrams of zinc every time you have an ejaculation.
Absolutely.
So you got to put in the zinc. Next, the most abundant mineral in soft tissue in the fluid is magnesium. So you have to put in the magnesium, especially if you've got a muscle injury, because if you don't put in the magnesium, you're going to spasm. Now,
mm-hmm.
It used to be said that you got to put in calcium to prevent spasming. That was back in the day when the calcium-magnesium supplements all came in one pill. They were made out of dolomite rocks from Spain, and you couldn't separate the calcium from the magnesium, and it was actually the magnesium preventing the spasm, because calcium helps to cause a spasm. Calcium is the ion that creates muscular contraction. Magnesium is the ion that creates muscular relaxation. And let's say your heartbeat goes calcium, contraction, magnesium, relaxation, calcium, contraction, magnesium, relaxation. When you are deficient in magnesium and calcium gets into the magnesium channels, you have a contract signal instead of a contract relax signal. Then you have tachycardia, or you have fibrillation, or you have an irregular heartbeat. So you have to put in the magnesium. The magnesium speeds healing, and the magnesium prevents spasm. Then we need 1 gram of protein, high quality protein, not that vegetable crap.
or pea protein.
Oh gosh, you build bitch tits with pea protein. So we need 1 gram of high quality protein per kilo of body weight.
Yep.
And then you can throw in the vitamin A and the vitamin D. For the soft tissue stuff, you can throw in, if you've got a fracture, drink 3 glasses of milk, boys and girls. Each glass of milk is 300 milligrams of calcium. You don't ever want to take in more than 600 to 900 milligrams of calcium a day, or else you'll start putting calcium where it doesn't belong.
Yep.
You can actually kill yourself by taking too much calcium.
Yep.
But those are the main things. The zinc, magnesium, the protein, the A, the D, and the calcium. Or healing an injury.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, you brushed on it a little bit in the beginning, and you know, this is a favorite topic, I know, for both you and I. How's testosterone going to play into an injury, obviously?
The more testosterone you have, the faster tissue building you will do, because testosterone is in charge of tissue synthesis. It's that easy. It's just that simple.
Yeah, I know. But I don't. Obviously, there's some of us that understand how vital it is. But I'm sure if you said that to an MD, unless they're really, really up on things, they probably laugh you right out of the room.
Most of the MDs trained since the 70s have been taught that testosterone is an evil, bad thing. It makes people be criminals and go to jail, because there was a lot of junk science done by the feminazis back in the 70s that purported to show that all criminals had an excess of testosterone. What they were trying to prove was that estrogen was good and testosterone was bad, and that anything with testosterone was bad. So they did all this absolutely crap junk science that should never have been published, because it was bullshit from the get-go. It had a predetermined end. It was not valid science in the least. And that stuck in med school. Oh, if you take testosterone, you get liver cancer. If you do this, you do... You know, I'm sorry. Find me an 18-year-old with liver cancer.
Yeah,
find me an 18-year-old with a swollen prostate. Find me an 18-year-old who's losing his hair. Mm-hmm. Evil hormone? The evil hormone is frickin' estrogen.
Absolutely.
But testosterone builds things. Testosterone is anabolic. Estrogen is catabolic. If you have too much estrogen, you will destroy muscle tissue. That's a proven fact. So, we need to be positive on the testosterone side.
Well, I'll tell you something. I got an argument with a guy. He'd probably be in his early 60s now. I got in an argument with this guy. We almost blew fists on each other. It was so bad. He tried to tell me, you know, when you turn like 40 to 45, by then you probably had your kids and everything, that it's natural for a man to lose his testosterone as he gets older. And I said to him, you're full of shit, like that. And I knew this guy good. I mean, I was friends with him. I'm still friends with him, but it was ugly. It was like, he's trying to tell me, you know, when you're in your 60s and everything, you don't need it. I said, bullshit, man. You need it more than anything. And not only that, have you read anything about what happens to your organs, your heart, when your testosterone is like flat on its ass? Oh, no, no. And it was like, it was just loud and ugly. And I was like, you go ahead and live and shrivel up like a little prune and start looking like a broad when you're like 50. Be my guest, man, because I'll tell you what, I want to be that guy out in the woods with a buffalo coat on, and he looks like he just walked out of another dimension, you know?
Exactly.
That's what I want, man. I want to live that way till I'm 150, for God's sake.
You know, guys like that usually have overbearing wives who have browbeat them down to the point where
they like being weak and wimpy. You know? They really do.
I said to this girl today, I had to go to the co-op, and she's all right. Like, I think her father was in the Marines, but I think she's, like, kind of, like, bent in the middle a little bit, and she really likes to talk to me and stuff. And it was pretty funny, because I said to her, like, I was just, like, all hyped up, and she always says to me, like, you've got such a good aura around you whenever you come up here. I was like, because I'm full of testosterone. I said, I like to be a man. I'm a man. I enjoy that. And I said, I don't enjoy people that don't like life, man. I don't enjoy complainers. I know there's things in our lives, and we all do it. But you know what? If you're going to fall on the sword every time something happens, get the F away from me, man. It's like, I don't want that coming at me all the time. And it's like, being a man is more than like the femmies love to say, oh, we're all bullies and, you know, we don't know how to treat women, and, you know, we beat the shit out of our women, and any guy that isn't strong or vibrant, you know, you make fun of and this and that. That's not the case at all. That trouble will find me. I don't even have to go out and look for shit like that, all right? Here's the deal. Being a man to me is being as strong as you can, being a leader, helping people when they need to be helped, be the best man, husband, boyfriend you can be to your wife. But here's what I won't do. I will not be a pussy for anybody, and I will not be a guy that will just shut up and sit there while everybody else is saying whatever they want. If you don't like that, goodbye. You know what I mean? Because there's plenty of people that understand the role of manhood in the world, and I'll tell you what, we need to get this out more and more to as many as we can, especially the kids coming up. Get the fuck off the couch with a Nintendo. Get the hell off the phone with the tweeting this and tweeting that. And on it. You know what I mean? It's like, go out, man, and go out and do something in the world. Go out and lift some stones. Go out and swing a sledgehammer. Go out and flip a tire. I don't care what it is. Better yet, go out and help your neighbor mow their goddamn lawn, right? I mean, go do something. Don't let life eat your ass up, and the next thing you know, you're 30 years old, and they tell you, I'm sorry, you've got cancer. You got 6 months to live. I mean, there's no guarantees for any of us, but I'd rather go out like a beast than, you know, some pussified guy. That's all I'm saying.
You know, amongst the guys who hit women,
yep,
the guys that the feminazis are always complaining about,
yep,
those guys are the very insecure guys. They don't have a lot of testosterone.
Exactly.
If they did, they'd be going out looking for fights with guys instead of beating,
yep,
on women.
Yep.
They're hitting up on a target they know they can beat. You know, one,
yep,
when I was a kid, and a young kung fu guy, straight, you know, I got out of the service.
Sure.
Studying kung fu, I was really, really sure of myself. The best thing that could happen on a Saturday night was you got into a fight and you got laid.
Yes, sir.
You know, we had barroom brawls. That were just absolutely amazing. And I took a job as a bouncer in the worst bar in Cheapside Bay in Brooklyn. I was 158 pounds. I had just gotten out of the Corps, and I wanted to go in the opposite direction. I had my hair short for too long, so I grew a ponytail and had love beads. All the rest of the bouncers were these big, burly football linemen. So when some guy got drunk and wanted to show his girlfriend how tough he was, he picked on me because I was the smallest bouncer in the bar. Great! I got a lot of practice. I loved it.
Yep.
But The guys who beat on women are the insecure, yep, guys who couldn't win a street fight if they met up with an opponent who was tied hands and foot together.
Absolutely. And, you know, probably most of them can't even get it up either.
That's why they're so angry. And
absolutely.
What's the matter?
Yep.
You couldn't get up. Or, is that all there is? You came too fast.
So, that shame causes them to beat the woman who said that.
No shit, man. It's like, guy sitting there, and he's like, oh shit, man, I just blew up. And it's like, hey, you know something? You should have took better care of yourself and stopped being a pussy your whole life. It's like, you know, did you ever notice that? I encounter this a lot, no matter where I go, especially where I meet it more than anything, or like places like co-ops and Whole Foods. And it's funny as hell, because most of the guys walking around there all walk like they're going to break your fucking face when they look at, mm-hmm, you. And I just, like, laugh. I'm like, you know something, man? Go away. You know, it's like, and they're rude. You know, you'll come down an aisle, a lot of them. It's like, they might bump in here, or they will have their card out in the middle. I'm like, whatever happened to just being reasonable? You know what I mean? Stop watching these movies where you get a shot to the throat and you get back up. Because chances are you're not getting back up, all right? And I'm laughing. I'm, like, saying to myself, you know, I learned a long time ago, my father used to say this, Dr. Wong, among a lot of things. If you go out looking for trouble, trouble's going to find you, you know?
Yep.
And I think of that a lot. And I do a lot of things he taught me as a kid. Always know your entrance and exit in any building you go into, and never have your back to anybody. Always, if you're even, no matter where, you know, always try to get next to a wall at a table, even turn sideways. Know what's coming at you and coming behind you, because you never know, these days especially where you are, something could happen like that, could cost you your goddamn life, you know? And I think that all goes with the testosterone thing. I think men who are really loaded up with it, they're protectors to begin with. And I know today, and it's bullshit too, because I've gone out with more than enough women that I guess you would call confident, even though when you get to know them, a lot of them really aren't. But we aren't going to even get in. We can get into that in another show. It, you know, women do like adore hell for them. Women do like to be talked to nicely. Women do like men with manners. Women do like men that know how to hold their fucking fork and not shovel it to their face, you know, in their face into it. And believe it or not, women do like protectors.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they do.
Deep down inside, like, they're looking for someone who could build their nest and protect,
yep,
their nest.
Yep, absolutely. And you know something? A lot of them got a bad rap, and there's a lot of them, like I said, you know, by the time they're 40, all they do is they go out and buy shoes. They gave up. is they don't feel there's anybody out there, because they're going out with these guys that are nothing but a bunch of, they're usually punks, or, you know, they just think like they can take the world and shit like that. They're usually the ones, in my experience, that you could knock their fucking head right off.
Yeah. Like you said, you see these punks walking down, and their chest is up, and their chin is up, and they got all this swagger, and they're bumping into you. Really tough men don't do that. I challenge any of those guys to go down to Jackson, North Carolina, where Camp Lejeune is.
Yep.
Walk around the supermarkets, walk around, and act that way around all the Marines there. You won't see the Marines walking around with that swagger bumping into people.
Yep.
You'll see young, confident men. They have this aura of "Don't fuck with me or I'll kill you." But polite, they're nice. They're looking to help, and they just exude confidence. It is the lack of confidence that causes people to try to overcompensate and act like they're always having their dicks hanging out. It's dragging on the floor.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, I watched last weekend. I don't know if you're a fan of his, but I love Clint Eastwood's spaghetti movies. And they had The Outlaw Josie Wales on. That's probably my favorite one he's done. All right? And I you know, it's funny. I've been with different people, and they're like, "You're watching that goddamn movie again?" I mean, I've got it all on Blu-ray and all that. And it's like, how do you not watch it? And I know a lot of times they cut it out and all this shit, but I love the part where he knows that, you know, they all got set up. And, you know, his buddy set him up there with, what is he? He's not the general. I don't remember what the hell they called him. And I remember when Wales got most of them in the camp, and he was like, oh, Fletcher was the guy he rode with. And he goes like this to him. He goes, "Fletcher, I want you to hound this Wales from here to hell or kingdom come," whatever it was. And Fletcher was like, there's other pieces to it, but it's always stuck in my head. Oh, Senator, that's what he called him. He goes, "Senator, a man like Wales lives for the feud." That's what it's all about, man. When you act like a man, when you live like a man, when you treat your women, your family, everybody that you're associated well, your business associates, you know, when someone fucks with you, man, that's when you live by the feud. And those are the people, like you said, with the Marines, anybody that's in the real physical strength, because usually they're the kindest, nicest people you ever meet, because everybody tags them as being dumb and stupid, right?
Yes.
That you don't want to fuck with people like that.
Nope.
Because you and I both know, even when you were a lighter guy at 150, 160 pounds, you knew how to fight. You knew how to be deadly. When you lift, when you do martial arts, whatever you want to bring into it, strongman, you don't even know the power you exude if you get angry. And you can very much change the course of your life, which you don't want to do. Because you and I both know, men and women like that could kill you pretty easy if they...
Yes, yes.
Yeah. It's a scary thing. I'm always very, I won't say it's a fear, but I've been tested a number of times. One guy I almost killed, I threw him through a plate glass door one night in a bar. Lucky a piece didn't go right through him and kill him, but he got fucked up pretty bad. I was very lucky I didn't go away for a long time. If I say to people, avoid it if you can. You're a bigger man to walk away, but some people won't let you at times, and thank God for testosterone.
You know, the best part of Josie Wales
was
the meeting between Josie and the Indian chief.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
What they say to each other, John Milius wrote specifically, and it's the most important part of that movie. I urge everyone to listen to that dialogue, because that's how people need to be and live.
Absolutely. Ten Bears was like Wales said, governments don't live together, people do. That was vital, man. Vital. You know, that. And today, if we had listened to those sage words, you probably wouldn't have a lot of the shit that's going on out there right now all over the country. And you know, I liked him, too, when he called him, "You're the Gray Rider."
Yes.
You know, you won't make peace. There's a lot of us Gray Riders out there that realize what the hell's going on. I want harmony, but I also want people to know that if you step over the line, you're going to get fucking hammered, man.
Right.
That's just the way it is. And I think people realize, some people, like we've talked before, I look at people, man, you know, neck size, wrist size, hand size. You can tell people that are either laborers or they're weightlifters slash laborers, because I think we're laborers too.
Yep.
I mean, we're out moving all that iron and brick and stone, and, you know, you're picking things up, martial arts, you're cracking shit. You're a laborer, man, and those are people that are very heavy in the head, where by this I mean strong-willed, very powerful, and they know what to do. And I just think we need to return to that, especially the kids. I want to see these kids, man, be good stewards of America and of life, but I want them to be tough, man. I hate seeing kids all fat, sucking down a big, you know, 50-ounce soda. All right, I got the choice thing. I'm all about freedom, but, man, sometimes you can take your freedoms and shove them right down the toilet when you're doing shit like that.
Everyone is afraid of EMP. Everyone is afraid of the electrical grid going down. I'm looking forward to it. Get rid of all the freaking video games and all the damn computer games. Kids will actually have to go out and do something.
Absolutely. Because did you ever notice a lot of kids don't even know how to talk to you?
No, no.
Go to any store, even department, you know, like a grocery store. You don't see it as much as like in a Whole Foods or a Co-op, because they're all, you know, like probably like anywhere from 25 to 75. But you go to like to a conventional supermarket, and I'll tell you right now, it's like never, very rarely it'll be a hello. They don't want to be there. And I understand, I was a teenager, you don't want to be doing that shit, but it's like, you got to have manners in the world. And when you go out into the real world, conversely to what they tell you, where, you know, you can basically wear anything you want, you can have piercings anywhere you want, you can have tattoos down to your fingertips. I hate to break it to you, if you want to go out into like a Fortune 100 company or places like that, you are going to be gauged on how you look. And I know nobody wants to hear that anymore. Nobody wants to hear that. It's like, it's not fair, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know something? You own a company. I own a company. There's other people that own tons of companies that are entrepreneurs. Guess what, man? I know they sue you now, and they try to fuck with everybody in the private sector, but here's the deal. If I own something, I'm all for your freedom, but, you know, your freedom can turn on at 5 o'clock when you walk out the door. If I don't want that in my shop, I'm not going to have that in my shop.
Exactly.
And we got to learn that there are rules, and if you're going to work for somebody and they're going to pay you for your time, you got to kind of adhere to things. And I think structure is very pertinent now more than ever. If I didn't live a structured life with weightlifting and what I've done here now, I would have been lost, man. I mean, and, you know, my mother and father were like, you know, you go to bed at a certain time, you do your work, you do your homework. They never stopped us from playing or going and doing shit. But, you know, at 5 o'clock, you're home for dinner. And now people say, oh, my God, such a stringent life. Well, you know something? I had a brother in a wheelchair. They had to do things differently, maybe. But you know something? It didn't hurt me one damn bit. And I know it didn't hurt my brothers or sister at all either. Thank God for that.
It taught you discipline and structure, which is what folks these days don't have.
Exactly. The only reason why I'm sitting here talking to you and everybody else associated with this show is this. If I didn't have that structure in my life and that die hard, that I'm not giving up no matter what you do to me, you know, it's like you feel bulletproof now almost, you know, I would have been dead, Doc. I probably would have had to go back to that job, paid good. I would have sat in a cubicle and just got my balls kicked in every day. You know, even though I was still a lifter and all that, you know, it's the thing where like everybody will say to me, oh, well, you know, at least you got a job. It's like, fuck you, man. Is that what you want? Do you want to do something you really want? Well, then they'll say, well, life didn't afford me that. You know, I had kids and got married. I'm like, oh, my God, can you pull out another role for me? Something else? Holy shit, man. But we got into this thing. Is there anything else we need to hit upon here? I mean, anything else you want to say, Doc?
Well, when you start doing rehabilitation exercises,
start
with your stretching to get back the range of motion. Start lifting, going through as much of a range of motion as you can. If you have to do partials, do partials.
Yep.
Isometrics, as we spoke about, are wonderful.
Yep.
Start in it slowly. Build up slowly. Don't get too anxious and overtax the injury. Give yourself at least 2 to 3 weeks of just sort of kind of taking it easy, but not taking it super easy.
Yeah.
And build yourself back up to being, having almost as much strength in the affected side as in the non-affected side, and then you can start working bilaterally again.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think, just one quick question, too. What is your take? Do you think dumbbells are better for rehabbing, or do you think it's better to use a straight bar and throw the whole body into everything?
I like using dumbbells because rehab is a time when you're going to have to do isolation exercises.
Yep.
And
yep.
You can't work unilaterally on a straight bar.
Correct. Correct. Well, you know, a lot of people say, I've had this discussion with people, they're like, well, when you're hurt, you should use everything. I said, I don't believe that because, look, I have the propensity, like a lot of people, something will feel good. What's going to be your emotional thing to do? Add more weight. You add more weight, that's when you could get into a lot of trouble.
Yes.
Because it might have felt good the other set. You know, people put on 50 pounds. Guess what you probably just did to your elbow? Now you blew it out. And I think this stuff is very good to know and experiment with and do with. But the bottom line is you can't beat, you know, like the enzymes and obviously the magnesium and, you know, and all the other things we talked about. But when it comes down to it, you know, have a good protein, obviously. Eat, you know, I like grass-fed. Not everybody can afford it. I buy it when I can. Same with vegetables. You know, I'll be tilling my garden next week as long as we don't get a lot of rain. Hopefully that a week from Sunday, I'm putting stuff in. That's a great way to get a good source of food. And obviously when you're not hurt, I mean, you're really supplementing your body and you know what you've got because you grew it. So I would urge people to grow a garden. And obviously, like Dr. Wong said, you got to get in there, use the weights, use a lot of ice for your recovery. I do, even during sets, Doc, I bring out a big ice bag. I'll ice the shoulder between sets.
Great idea. Pitchers do that in between sessions.
Yeah, I just think, you know, I think the thing is, I think you got to use some common sense. If you're not sure, ask somebody or go out and research. And if you're still not sure, obviously, you know, you can go the medical route. You go the chiropractic route, you know, like that. I think those are the things you need to do. And when you do that, you're going to get back, you know, and that's the thing. That's one thing about lifters, and I know you've probably dealt with a million times. I'm not a good patient. I'm not going to lie to anybody. I've never been. I'm a guy that rather ram his head through the wall than sit and wait. But, like you said, discipline, patience, little know-how, and go out and just do things in a fashion where you're not injuring yourself more. Don't lay back, but go through it. Don't go around it. And that would be my prescription if you ask me.
Good, good, good. Perfect.
Do we got anything else you want to add, Doc?
I think we're done.
Okay, why don't you give everybody all your information, obviously the website. I'll give mine, and then we'll talk briefly offline if you would.
Very good. Our product site is DocsPreferred, DocsPreferred.com, DocsPreferred.com. My radio site is DrWongRadio.com. I've got lectures there, and I've got my podcast there. And my article information site is DrWong.us, DrWong.United States.
Beautiful. Got anything else?
That's it.
Okay. This is Motivation and Muscle. This is the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Obviously, we've got our sponsors. I'll just give the names out. We got U.S. Wellness Meats. Go out and check John Wood's site out. We've got Saugerties Chiropractic Center. Obviously, I gave the number, the phone number. That's the best way to reach them. I'll give it again, 845-246-5020. Let's see. We've just heard from Dr. Wong. We've got Dr. Wong's Essentials. That's his full supplement line. And obviously, I've listened to his podcast for years. This guy is just like here. He's a great guy to listen to. And like I said, he just kicks ass, man. He doesn't candy coat anything. And if your feathers get a little bit bent over, too fucking bad. We've got Atomic Athletic. That's Roger LaPointe. Check out the safety squat bar for $225 plus shipping. Atomicathletic.com. I've got a million ones. And then last but not least, we have our good friend John Drake from MuscleMass.com. He's running 21% off his flagship product, Adaptogen N. Go down into the discount code, type in Motivation. This special will go till May 21st, And also, if you buy three, you get one free, and obviously the shipping is free with that. I do believe even out of the USA, he's offering still the 21% off. I don't know what he would charge for shipping for that. I would assume maybe he does, but I don't know. So, we were also www.fiorellabarbell.com, www.motivationandmuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Please write us a review. Let's see, what else do we got? We got, if you want to get in touch with me and you'd like Dr. Wong and I to do a specific show, that's fiorellabarbell@nicap.rr.com. We are on Facebook at Fiorella Barbell, Motivation and Muscle, and we are on Twitter at Fiorello Eric. And we got a lot of new stuff coming, so be on the lookout. Dr. Wong, once again, been a pleasure. Another great show, and I love doing these Fridays with you.
Thank you.
It's great.
Thank you. It's great to be on with you, Eric.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, too. So, for Dr. William Wong, this is Eric Fiorello. We want to thank you for listening to today's show. I've got next week, we are hammered with podcasts, and I will have Dr. Wong on if he can schedule it. He'll be on 2 weeks from today. So have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. And thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.